May 14th, 1991. You're about to hear a long selection from the council meeting of March 26, 1991. That council meeting at the 4 p.m. session discussed a communication from Councilman John Mahaney suggesting a fence around the town clock to deal with the 3.5-month-old peace protest vigil there. This tape is being recorded on the eve of the appeal hearing, which will be happening tonight, and the City Council will decide whether to maintain the 1 to 8 a.m. curfew.
We'll move on then to item 32A, which was brought to us by Councilmember Mahaney. It is a suggestion for the official designation of the town clock as a memorial monument.
Well,
and I'll turn this to Councilmember Mahaney.
Thank you. Well, actually, I don't think I even need to do that. I put this on the agenda, and I noticed there's a lot of people who want to talk to it, and there's a lot of people in the community that want to talk to it, and we've already heard from a lot of them. The Parks and Recreation Commission apparently has talked about setting some hours at the town clock. My concern is, and I'm just coming from a historical standpoint here, maybe, just for the council's information and those in the public, I just happened to have been mayor in 1976 when the town clock was dedicated, and before its dedication, there was a fountain there, and that fountain was a memorial fountain to Fred Morris, who was an employee of the city of Santa Cruz, and in fact, we had to get permission, as I remember, from his family to build a town clock over it. So then during the construction of the town clock, it was built by a lot of individuals donating $50 for these bricks. And a lot of those bricks were given in memorial to people. And I think we reached a point where I think it's really a tragedy. I think that it's a desecration of a memorial, which is to not only to those individuals that bought bricks, but to the city of Santa Cruz citizens and to the Fred Morris family in particular. But I think that what I'm trying to say is there's got to be a way. I think we have two problems. The idea of people protesting, that's fine. I think people have a right to protest, but I personally don't think that they have a right to climb all over a monument. And I think that's where I'm coming from. Now, whether to me, you know, and I think we as a city council several years ago made a mistake in taking the gardens away from around the town clock. I think that if you want to stand near it or wherever and protest it, that or protest whatever you're protesting, that's one situation. But I think to climb on it and sit on it and sleep in it, and I guess the Parks and Recreation Department have cleaned up all sorts of things in it and around it and on it, I think that's really wrong. And so what I did, just briefly, what I want to do is just an information item, was going to refer it to the Parks and Recreation Commission. I had a landscape architect just sketch some ideas of perhaps putting some sort of a fence. It's a chain link fence or whatever you want around it to keep people from climbing in and on it. And I think that this is an idea, whether there's flowers or whatever between the fence and the town clock. I think, you know, we've all been to cities, and you can go to Washington, D.C., and you can walk around the Lincoln Memorial, but you don't climb up in his lap. And I think the same thing, in essence, is here. We've got a memorial, and it's really a tragedy when you get a phone call from an Italian lady, it doesn't matter her nationality, who says, crying, I spent $50 to buy a brick on the town clock memorial of my husband. I'm so discouraged, I'd like to have it taken off. And I think that kind of shows you where I'm coming from. And it has nothing to do for the protests. It's in the manner in which the protests are done. And so I'm just asking the council to support the idea of sending these sketches to the Parks and Recreation Department to see if there isn't a way that we can protect what I think is a beautiful monument.
I have a list of 5 people from the audience that wanted to address us on this issue. This isn't a public hearing, and so your remarks need to be brief. And if those 5 people would move to the side and start their comments towards the council.
Hi, Hi, my name is Wendy Chapkis. To keep my comments brief, I wrote them down. I'm really concerned because across America, there seems to be a sweeping enthusiasm for gutting our Bill of Rights. We've seen it in the recent public opinion polls that show that a majority of Americans seem to favor increased press censorship. Another poll shows that Americans are willing to abandon constitutional protections against unlawful search and seizure to more effectively fight the war on drugs. Other Americans have expressed a willingness to give up their right to privacy and submit to mandatory drug testing. It's sort of a whole set, including attacks on the freedom of expression with FCC regulations, new FCC regulations prohibiting what can go out over the air, and also chilling things like the Helms Amendment to restrict what can be funded through the federal government in terms of the arts. Freedom of assembly seems to be one of the few protections in the Bill of Rights that we still have some ground to claim. And it alarms me that in the town of Santa Cruz, we are now talking about putting restrictions on that item in the Bill of Rights, too, to restrict our freedom of assembly. Now, I understand that the proposal that John Mahaney has put forward is one that's coming out of a concern expressed by the community. I've heard and read in the paper that there have been hundreds of phone calls to the police department. On the other hand, I think that we have to look at our basic constitutional rights not as things that are dependent on the latest public opinion poll or the number of complaints that the police receives. These are basic constitutional rights. And I ask each of you to remember that. You know, Don was talking a few minutes ago about issues that the council has expressed an opinion over that seem to be national issues. This one seems clearly to be a local issue. I would say to you, this is also an important national issue. You are talking about taking a position for or against restriction of our basic constitutional rights. I understand that it's tempting to do this because some people, maybe even a majority of people in this town, don't like the way it looks when other people express their free speech or right to assembly. But those are our rights. Shame on any of you that would add your voices to a restriction of the Bill of Rights, to an erosion of the democracy in this country. Dissent is disorderly. Dissent doesn't always look nice. Some of those exercising their rights right now are homeless or look like they're homeless. And they aren't considered real residents of Santa Cruz and they don't have real rights. Well, I ask you as representatives of my vote and my voice in this town to please remember that each of us has the same rights in this community and that the right of dissent is absolutely critical in this particular historical moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Chapkis.
My name is Joe Zielinski. I'm a participant of the demonstration at the town clock. I'm rather disturbed that you propose to put a fence around which would restrict access to an area that's dedicated to freedom. As John Mahaney said, he was mayor at the time. He should know that this was dedicated to freedom and to inspire others for freedom. Part of those freedoms are, as Wendy has said, the Bill of Rights. And they outline our rights as citizens of this country and this town and the town clock. We occupy the town clock right now as a demonstration of peace. Some of the things that we hear are by word of mouth, and we don't hear things from you directly. We would really like to hear from you and hear exactly what you feel about what we're doing. Restricting the area by putting a fence up, I think would be, for one, a waste of money. I've read that you're concerned about the amount of money that it's cost to have the area patrolled. I don't know if you've witnessed what happens when they patrol the area, but it's just basically harassment. When they clean the area, they just hose it off a little bit and they take our personal property. This in itself, I think, is a crime. We have never been given any receipts for our personal property, and I consider it theft. because they people have uniforms on does not give them the right to steal from us. This is also another right of ours that is being infringed. I have a suggestion as far as what the money that you propose to spend on a fence be used for, and that would be possibly training the officers a little bit better to deal with situations such as these. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Robert Norris. The residents for whose tax will be going for this fence. Testosterone-intoxicated city officials scrambling for excuses to drive unfashionable protesters, some homeless, some not, from the town clock area at night. It is amusing to see how they turn truth on its head with allegations of littering, impeding city cleanup workers, and public urination and defecation. No tickets have been written at the town clock for any of these offenses. Other than a littering ticket issued to Dave Jacobs the day the war broke out for having too big a protest sign. Rather, city police from Jack Bassett's sleep-smashing SCPD and rangers from Jim Lang's Parks and Rec Department have cited the small band of dedicated protesters for camping, namely sleeping, bedding, covering up with a blanket in the rain and the cold, inappropriate conduct on a monument, sitting on its edge or on the bricks surrounding it, not usually in the middle of it, John, and inappropriate signs, that is, having a protest sign more than 14 inches long. The money poured into the bizarre policy priorities of Lang and Bassett, driving away the demonstrators, will be better put into immediate emergency sanctuary zone for legal sleeping, the curbing of police abuse locally, ever try and file a complaint with the SCPD, or maybe some of that mythical affordable housing, Jane, that you tell us about, that you favor. Until then, criminalize sleep for the homeless apparently seems to be the position. Maybe the city could divert some of the bucks it has made on the River Street mini-shelter property to programs like Community Options, which is now charging fees for community service to the poorest of the poor. City Council chameleons like progressive Neil Coonerty and the mayor, having given President Bush and his troops three cheers and a hip hip hooray for their bloody work in Iraq, are now moving to crush the scruffy dissident home with a curfew and a fence at the town clock. But to their credit, the Parks and Rec Commission rejected this curfew recently. This determination to maintain Santa Cruz's free speech tradition at the clock, in spite of fairy stories from Lang and Deputy Police Chief Dunbow, who's in the audience, is astonishing and refreshing. Lang and Dunbow both have a notorious history of opposing the homeless. Lang led the first police raid on the food servers at the town clock in November 1988. He moved to block an hour of shower access for the homeless in May of 1989. And he oversaw the surreptitious removal of half a dozen benches on the Upper Mall last fall. Dunbow concocted the Frankenstein non-commercial events ordinance in 1989 and then ticketed and arrested demonstrators protesting police brutality and others opposing the Trident missile last spring. Maybe these cowboys would feel more at home in Los Angeles, where they could compete with Daryl Gates and be paid out of someone else's public trough for telling fish stories and authorizing harassment fishing expeditions. Here, the odor of hypocrisy and repression is a little too strong for some of us. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Norris. Would the next speaker please step up to the microphone?
Councilmembers, Mayor Yokoyama. My name is Robert Flory. I'm a Cabrillo student, and I've been at the town clock virtually continuously now for the past 3 weeks. So the day the ground war started, I had been visiting the town clock off and on, you know, supporting the peace vigil and whatnot. But the day the ground war started, I went down there. I was talking to Wonton Dave Jacobs, who is the only person at the town clock right now, because the rest of us are here at the city council meeting, naturally. But and he was telling me about all of these camping tickets and littering tickets that he was receiving while he was trying to conduct, and while he and other individuals were receiving while trying to conduct this this peace vigil, which is exactly what it is. And I was, of course, quite alarmed that the right to political dissent or whatever was being suppressed, or at least that's the way I viewed it. So I immediately joined the effort, and I've been there ever since, and have been receiving camping tickets, and I've received a maintaining a public nuisance tickets, and things of that nature. Primarily what I want to talk to you about is image. It seems that in our television world of today, people are more concerned with image than content. And I read about myself in the paper, I read about the peace vigil in the newspaper, and it doesn't make, you know, it's not consistent with what goes on there. If people want to know what goes on at the town clock, come down to the town clock and be there for a while. You know, I hear about all these complaints and all of these political maneuvers going on, but no one comes and talks to me, and yet I and several others are always there. As far as the image goes, as Mr. Norris was saying, the article in the paper talks about barefoot, scraggly men who were defecating and whatnot on the town clock area. I would suggest that the primary cause of the low image would be the police harassment that has been going on, and I'm going to continue to be at the peace vigil for some time to come. You know, I have all these court dates now to clear up in May and April, but so I strongly urge you not to support this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flory. Would the next speaker, Ms. Edwards, did you want to address this?
My name's Linda Edwards. First of all, these signs over here make a lot of sense. Silence is death, and I think people should be doing something. And if the town clock, like you say, is dedicated to freedom, I believe that, you know, I mean, I think freedom is doing something. I don't want to desecrate a monument, but, you know, sometimes I guess people think because we look a little shabby that, you know, they don't want us around. Maybe if we were all nice dressed with suits and ties on and looked nice and have flowers, maybe that would make a difference. I don't know. For the garbage, it's always been garbage there. I've been around here for years and gone over to the town clock to sit down and seen garbage in there, you know, dirty water and garbage and junk and stuff around there always, not just because we're there. The thing about the monuments in Washington, D.C., I was there a couple of years ago, and people were sitting on the monuments and laying on the monuments and hanging around the monuments because that's what they're for. They're for the people to touch and feel and, you know, and enjoy. I think just to touch the things and be there and hang out on it, I don't know. It just is a sense of power and to not only grasp the freedom that's there, not just say, well, this monument's sitting here, that's for freedom. Well, you know, let's use it for freedom, you know, like use it, consume it, and be a part of it. I mean, as these people are doing. There's an incident I need to bring up. I notice, this may sound paranoid, but I've noticed, like, sometimes when all of a sudden the place looks a little bit trashy, the rangers seem to appear, which, in the coincidence, being there myself and supporting these people and being there, I've noticed there's a coincidence between the clutter and the trash and the ranger's appearance or the police appearance, which is kind of strange. I don't know. I mean, it's just a coincidence that it seems to coordinate itself at the same time. I've seen the times when it's been clean and straight and everybody's got their stuff together and there's no one around, but they seem to appear at that time as if someone planted it that way. And I thought maybe you might know that I think that's maybe a part of somebody's way of getting rid of us. That's all I have to say for myself. Dave Jacobs, who's at the town clock now, who's been there since the day the war broke out and has been there since, wanted me to read this. It says, "This motion to declare the clock tower a sanctified memorial for the dead is a sad insult to those very same dead. The money given in their name along with the greater amount of money given in the name of the living was dedicated to freedom and inspiration of future generations. To fence it off is to deny freedom and will stifle our youth. Washington and Lincoln monuments in Washington, D.C., and Grant's tomb in New York are walked on, played on, slept on without dishonor. Yet to sleep outside in Santa Cruz is a crime. This council is, in refusing to recognize the First Amendment, is denying the very source of its power, the U.S. Constitution. If this city and council continues on its present course, it will be the death toll of the civil rule and the beginning of a totalitarian rule in our once free land. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. The final speaker that I had down was Ms. Marr. After Ms. Marr.
Good afternoon, council members. My name is Margaret Marr, and I come here in my private capacity as a concerned citizen. I take Mr. Mahaney at his word that he's not interested in curtailing First Amendment speech at the town clock. Rather, I'll address my comments to the notion of putting a fence around this monument. A monument that is almost by architectural design intended for you to sit on it, and it has a natural platform from which you can deliver a speech to a group that's been around it. He draws our attention to monuments in Washington, D.C., and I'd also like to draw your attention to fountains in Washington, where you can sit right next to it, put your hand in the water. It's a wonderful place to be during a hot afternoon to cool yourself down. I would hope that this council would not choose to respond to a demonstration that has caused this community some concern with a broad, sweeping public policy reaction to limit our access to a very beautiful and important public monument, a monument that each of us can enjoy sitting on and or delivering a speech to our fellow citizens about. I personally hope that you will not choose at this time to erect the fence around this town clock and to allow us to continue sitting on it. I'd also like to point out that I share Mr. Mahaney's concern that people should not deface public property. We don't want them to misuse it in any way, but when they do choose to misuse it, it is currently a crime of vandalism and misdemeanor. And I think that those current laws, crimes, are sufficient to protect our monument given the amount of public police force located at that intersection. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy.
Thank you, Ms. Vaughn. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll try to be brief. I'm mindful of the time. My name is A.C. Smith. I'm here as a resident of the city of Santa Cruz and as a business owner, and not in any of my semi-official capacities either. Mostly I'm here for the same reason that I have all of those semi-official capacities now. Up until a year and a half ago, I tended to my knitting and worked in my business and also worked in news and was somewhat amused by all of this passing parade. And what changed for me is that it became clear to me after October of 1989 that it was... If there was going to be a place for me to continue to try to earn a living and do business, that it was important that someone in our position, my spouse and I, of being a small business owner, get out and advocate for our concerns. And that's put me on different sides of different things with different people. I'm frankly just boggled that this whole thing is being cast in terms of some sort of a First Amendment issue. My spouse and I both deeply were concerned about our involvement in the Middle East. We opposed the war. We circulated petitions in our business in opposition to the war. Several of my customers are here today, and I hope that my getting up here doesn't alienate them. What's going on at the town clock and what's been going on at the town clock for the last couple of months does not represent me. Thank you very much. You know, I take a backseat to no one in my concern and my opposition to military adventurism, and this does not represent me, and I don't see it as a free speech issue. I think the points are well taken about, you know, I have some reservations about the appropriateness of a fence. But at the very least, I would urge the council to bring this city park property in line with what's common practice in most, if not all, city parks, which is to have hours of operation. And I think that would go a long way towards resolving the current problem. I've somebody talked about image. I drive by there every day coming to and from my business, and I understand why citizens of this community are concerned. And I understand what the image problem is. And if people are incapable of grasping that, I mean, it's really frustrating. It's really difficult for me to drive past there, see this now somewhat tattered banner up on the tower that says, "Together we're working to save our downtown." And to see the activity going on underneath that banner that has a direct impact impact on my ability to continue to survive and earn a living in our downtown. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. This item is before the council for deliberation and action.
Well, I just want to send it to the Parks and Recreation Commission and have them come back with some ideas to see if this is a feasible idea.
Further comments? Councilmember Byers?
Well, I guess I just continue to look at the recommendation before us, though, which really is to install a fence, and I would like to make comments on that, and then if it does go to the Parks and Rec Commission by a majority of the vote here, I hope our comments go as well. Several people have used Washington, D.C. as an analogy, and that's exactly what hit me, having just returned from there while Councilmember Lane was dutifully going to meetings. I was playing tourist the whole time. And I was so moved at being in our national capital, our national city, by the number of monuments and the wonderful fountains, and everywhere, 24 hours a day, you could visit them, you could sit at them. Children could crawl around them. I think the only reason people weren't on Abraham Lincoln's knee because it's way too big. I think, though, he would be, of all people, would be most distressed to think that at any time we put a fence around any of our national monuments. They are there to be loved and hugged and trampled on and walked on, not defaced. But they are symbols. I support it being a memorial monument. It is a monument. People should see it, should walk around, should go to our town clock. And therefore, I would not be able to support any type of anything that would inhibit anyone from becoming closer and closer to what I really agree is a monument, is an opportunity to stand under there and look at the tiles and see the people's names. The problems need to be addressed, and I understand that, and I support various ways of looking at that, but I could not support a fence around any of our monuments. I just have to add, too, I'm thinking of the Vietnam Memorial, which I ran by about 6 a.m., and the wonderful thing there, the sun was hitting it, and many of the homeless were sleeping, trying to get the sun. Every monument, you will have people sleeping. You'll have children playing. You'll have business people eating their lunch. There is room for everybody in our community and also at this monument.
Further comments? Councilmember Ritten.
Well, first I'd like to pass around some photos to the rest of the council. Taken at the first of the month on an average sunny afternoon of the motley congregation that has inhabited this space. I'd like to agree with Dr. Mahaney, you know, that this is a monument. I like his proposal, the idea of the fence, possibly some flower beds behind it, to help protect this structure. I don't see it as any issue to First Amendment rights. What we're really looking at is protecting a city asset that belongs to all of the people. And I think that they should go back to the commission and to look at it. I do have some serious questions on ours, but I think on the other side that a flower bed and possibly a fence around the town clock to protect the structure is maybe a good idea, and I could support that.
Further comments, Councilmember Lane?
Yeah. I think we could talk about this for a long time, and I certainly have a lot of things to say about it. I'll try and just stick to perhaps the key one or two points. And I think the most difficult one is that I think I can half agree with almost everything that someone said here. I think there is validity, but I don't think very many of the presentations from anyone really take the issue head on, and that is that there's something going on at the town clock that people don't like. Some of the things that are going on there ought to be dealt with by the city. They are against the law, and we ought to enforce the law. Others of those things people don't like, and the city has no business dealing with them anyway. Because if people don't like the kind of speech that people are making or the way they look while they're doing it, it's really just not our business. It's not any government's business to deal with that. So how can we make that distinction? I don't really know the answer, but frankly, I can't really...